live in Vegas.
From the Las Vegas Strip, right to our studios on Flamingo.
Woohoo!
I'm here because I got to put two kids through college. LeBron. We ask everybody to participate, from Uber drivers to taxi drivers to bartenders. I mean, I never slow down. I stand up in the studio. I'm excited to be on the radio. I like energetic callers who have opinions. Sound off like you got a pair.
Woohoo!
Oh, I'm cranky Yankee. How do the Yankees lose a game like this? Are you kidding me?
And now, live from Las Vegas, here's JT the Brick.
Thanks for joining us, JT. Right here, Fox Sports Radio, brought to you by our great friends at Golden Entertainment. They own PT, Sierra Gold, Sean Patrick's, the SG Bar. You've been to them. They got the best award-winning happy hour in town from 5 to 7, from midnight to 2, and their fantasy football draft kit, their competitive pricing on food and beverage. Please make PT's your home for your fantasy football draft, which is coming up right around the corner. There's a lot of baseball today in progress. Rays just beat the Yankees. We'll get into some of these other games that are going down in progress as we speak. Two really good guests today. We'll talk to Mark Anderson. He's over at the Mountain West today as the Mountain West is kicking off their big presser as they kick off the season. He wrote a cover story on their television deal, or lack thereof. We'll get into that with him coming up, and what the expectation should be for UNLV football. We are not a UNLV football show. We're a Raiders show. I'm up at Raiders camp tomorrow and Friday. We'll have John Gruden on. Stick around for that. I hit the road tomorrow morning for Napa. I'm there all weekend. We come back Monday, and we're pretty much heavy football the way we like to. The good problem that we have is we're also a hockey town now, and we got a lot of hockey games. We have hockey news that breaks, preseason hockey, and hockey's coming sooner than later. Bobby showed me the schedule the other day. I was like, what? Wait, what? How many games? When are they coming? It's quick for you Golden Knight fans. So you just paid off maybe a couple of credit card bills for playoff tickets. Well, it's coming again. Golden Knights are ready to go back and try to win the West again. The breaking news today is Jerry Jones and his comments on the president and the anthem policy. As I say, when I get up every morning, I don't want to talk about the anthem. I don't want to talk politics. There are people in the media, sports and political media, that want to talk about this. It's an easy day for them. For me, I don't look to take the easy way out, but when there's breaking news, when I see a police report with an athlete, or someone gets cut or signed, it becomes breaking news. And today, the biggest story in sports is that Jerry Jones up in Oxnard at training camp has commented on his State of the Union. A lot of owners do this, some don't. Bill Belichick met Dan Shaughnessy in the media. John Gruden's going to meet the media either today or tomorrow when I'm up in Napa. And then the owners pick and choose their spots, because a lot of owners don't want to talk to the press. They're not comfortable. They're billionaires. And then if you start asking owners about the anthem or anything to do with politics, they know if they say one thing wrong or out of bounds, it could affect their entire fan base. But Jerry Jones doesn't have to worry about that. Jerry Jones is one of the most powerful owners in all of sports, and he said earlier today that his players will stand for the national anthem, but he wishes that President Trump would not bring the controversy up as often as he does. Quote, his interest in what we're doing is problematic from my chair. And I would say in general, the owner's chair. That was at the news conference earlier today. Quote, it's unprecedented if you really think about it, but like the very game itself, that's the way it is and we'll deal with it. So I'll have that sound from the press conference at the top of the hour when we kick into the national show. And it's a big topic because I'm on throughout the state of Texas. And a lot of people want these players, all the players, to stand for the anthem. I'm one of them. I'm very strong with my anthem opinions. I don't sit on the fence. And people who sit on the fence, you know, they don't have careers in media. You got to have an opinion one way or another. But I have evolved on this topic. I understand why Colin Kaepernick started it and took a knee. I understand that this issue is because of the way players would like to be treated by police and how they would like minorities, African Americans, to be treated by police. This has always been a police issue. And for me, I'm comfortable with this because I'm pro-cop. And other radio hosts want to run away from that too. I mean, I don't know how you can't be pro-cop when cops make really big mistakes and they break the law. I'm all for justice and taking those cops off the street. But I know cops, and I grew up with cops, and I have friends who are cops, and I know that they protect and serve and put their life on the line every day. So if I have to side with anybody, I usually side with the police trying to do the right job. Well, that's what this anthem protest is all about. And I've also tried to frame it properly that there's always going to be injustice in this country. There's always going to be a black, a white, a Latino, an Asian, someone's going to commit a crime or an alleged crime, and there's going to be violence, and a police officer is going to get in the middle of it, and then it's going to go up on CNN. And then once it goes up on CNN, the media frames to you how you should think about it. Conservative cable news will tell you that possibly that guy in the hoodie was a bad guy and he did something wrong. If you're watching someone on the left, they might say that the police officer or officers allegedly overstep their bounds. And then it gets fed through the media machine, and we have to look at an incident that we're not aware of. It didn't happen in our town. We don't know the people, and we're here to draw an opinion. Well, what's happened is football players watch TV too, and they turn on TV and they see this, and they're just sick and tired of it because they see people like themselves gunned down. They see people like themselves not getting the justice that they deserve. So this is not going to go away. At times, I raise a very important issue. What happens if we go through 4 or 5 months where there isn't a high-profile police incident with a minority, enough where it leads the news every night of the week? Are the players going to stand for attention that week because they're in a mood that everything's okay? And then, boom, something happens with a minority and a police officer. Is every player then that weekend going to take a knee? Then 3 weeks later, everything's quiet and everybody stands again. You can't run a business that way. That's what the umbrella topic is. How does the NFL find a way to run this business to the point where it's stable enough for their television partners and their paid attendance, their fans, where everybody can go back to watching football and enjoying the game and not worrying about the anthem policy? We are nowhere near there yet. Because again, this pops up every couple of weeks. Then you throw in the White House, and when we stand in the White House tonight, you have a president who's interested in this topic because his base loves this topic. So if the president's at a rally or if he's talking about this, he knows he's connecting to his base, and his base believes predominantly what he believes. I don't believe this president approves any type of brutality with police. He doesn't. And other presidents haven't. No, I don't think anyone should shake their head. I don't think the man sitting in the White House supports police brutality. No, call me nuts. I don't think that's the case. But he understands the anthem is tied to that, and he thinks that these young men who are millionaires should be standing. So that's where we are today. I mean, what do you want me to do? Talk about Jimmy Garoppolo? Go around to Bengals training camp for an hour? This is the lead story on SportsCenter. It's the lead story other than Facebook crashing. By the way, the stock's down $50 in after hours. Topic for another day, but this is the biggest story in sports. So we'll talk to Sid Rosenberg about it. He's very vocal on this topic. He is pro-anthem, and we'll hear what he has to say on this also. Still the summer of LeBron James. The big NBA topic today is DeMar DeRozan reporting to San Antonio. He's going to work out here in Vegas with Greg Popovich, who's leading the Olympic team, which is good news. Kawhi Leonard has decided to bypass Las Vegas and an opportunity to work out with the men's national team and come in and be prepared and do that. He's going to get ready to play for the Toronto Raptors. I don't believe in that at all. I don't believe in that story at all in regards to that topic, because I just think Kawhi Leonard wants to stay away from all of this. I think he wants to stay away from all of this. And if he comes out here, all of a sudden there's going to be a media firestorm. The media firestorm is going to be difficult for him to handle. And I think at this point in time that Kawhi Leonard is probably smart, because he's coming off an injury, to avoid Vegas and the workouts here and the scrutiny that he would get from the national media and just worry about next year playing for Toronto. The bit of a problem I have there is he's avoiding Greg Popovich, and he's avoiding an opportunity to represent his flag and his country. And when you're Kawhi Leonard, you don't want to do that. You don't want to be in a position where you avoid an opportunity to represent your country at the Olympic Games, at Olympic training, if you're in a situation to go out there and play for your country. I mean, how do you do that? I don't know many, many athletes who would blow off an opportunity to play at camp in Las Vegas for their country. Kawhi Leonard is now stacking up issues in his life that are big issues. And I'm concerned about it because I think Kawhi Leonard's the type of guy who could go down as one of the greatest two-way players to ever play. I mean, of all time, he's already got two defensive players of the year. He's got a ring. He's got an MVP in the NBA Finals. That's pretty good. And he's young. He's 27. So you look at the next 4 or 5 years, Kawhi Leonard could be on an arc to be one of the elite superstars to ever play. And now he has all of this negative energy. Jimmy Garoppolo finally met the media, talks about being under a microscope in relations to the porn star incident and what happened when he took a porn star out to dinner last week in Los Angeles. As the Niners are getting ready to play, Garoppolo understands that he is the face of the franchise and he is comfortable where he is in his life, especially being spotted out to dinner with an adult film star. I think this works in San Francisco. In San Francisco, I don't think people are worked up about this issue. I wonder how this would be working in Green Bay. I wonder how this would be working in some of the other flyovers. I wonder in Kansas City if this happened, if it would be that big of a deal. Garoppolo said, life is different now. My life off the field, I've never really been very big on being very public with things, even social media. I'm not out there a ton, but my life is looked at differently, and I'm under a microscope. Khalil Mack has not reported for the Raiders for camp. I'll be up there tomorrow, and when I talk to John Gruden about this on the record, it won't be touchy because I think John Gruden and Reggie McKenzie understand the situation with Khalil Mack. He's underpaid. He's outperformed his contract. But in order to put that Khalil Mack deal together, it's a big one. And the Raiders are up against the cap, and it's going to have to be creative. I'm a big fan of Khalil Mack. I think he's the best player defensively in this league since Von Miller. You know, Von Miller is a Super Bowl MVP and a defensive player of the year. Khalil Mack is a defensive MVP, but Khalil Mack has only played in one playoff game and lost. He's not at the level of Von Miller or Lawrence Taylor. I think he'll be able to get paid. Julio Jones is upset about his contract status, even though he has 3 seasons, including this one and 2 more, left on a contract that he signed. He's upset because Brandon Cooks, who hasn't played a down with the Rams, is making more money than him. And that brings me to Todd Gurley, the Rams running back, who got a brand new contract, I believe rightfully so, a contract extension, as Le'Veon Bell has not been paid. And Le'Veon Bell's in a tough situation, not been paid at all, and he wants to play out his contract because he's played 2 years under what is, I think, a very generous situation in the NFL with the franchise tag. Hey, I don't cry for guys who get the franchise tag. I'm sorry. Problem with Le'Veon Bell, he's the number one player in this sport at running back, and he's being paid in the top 5 where he should be number 1, not in the top 5, so it's worth holding out. And John Dorsey, who's the general manager of Cleveland, is showing maybe a little bit of interest in the Cleveland Browns. Dez Bryant is, and they're showing interest maybe in Dez Bryant. I'm personally shocked, and there's a lot of Cowboy fans listening to this show. I am shocked that Dez Bryant doesn't have a better option other than the Cleveland Browns. I can't believe that the Green Bay Packers did not sign him instantly. Green Bay lost Jordy Nelson, the number one receiver to the Raiders of Aaron Rodgers. How do you not bring in Dez Bryant on a discounted deal and go out and make a deal like that? So that's something else that we're talking about, 876-1340. And at this time, you get players that just don't want to report to camp because there's no need to report to camp at this point in time because they understand that they'll be ready for the preseason. They're working out on their own, and we still got well over a month before these players have to report and play in real football games. So I don't think it's the end of the world, but there are a couple of big names who are not signed. Aaron Donald with the Rams, Khalil Mack with the Raiders, And no doubt about it, Le'Veon Bell is not happy with what's going on in Pittsburgh. If you're building your fantasy team, this shouldn't affect you because I think these guys are going to play because the only way for them to make big money long term is to play even under a contract that they're not happy with. You know, you're not going to see Julio Jones sit out. You're not going to see Le'Veon Bell sit out because they only have one career and it's right now and they're in their prime, but they are in a tough situation if they don't go out and play at a high level. A little bit later on, at the bottom of the hour, we'll get into the Mountain West Media Day and what this means for UNLV football. I'd love to take a call or two on expectations on UNLV football. You're driving around in the Valley, you're a season ticket holder. If you're an alumni, what do you expect out of Tony Sanchez this year? It's bowl eligible. It must be a bowl game. This team has to be bowl eligible no matter what. I think Tony Sanchez is fine. He's a made man in town. He's building the program his way properly. The money's coming in regards to the way he was able to bring in the Fatina money. I think he's a good coach, but he's got to win now. And UNLV fans, if you're not talking on this radio show, an evening drive, or another one, you are going to get drowned out by the Raiders and the Golden Knights. So that's just me throwing out an olive branch to UNLV fans. Fight for your team on the radio every day at 4 o'clock. If you got something to say, we'll have a conversation on it. Is the pressure on UNLV football this year? Hell yeah. They got a cupcake portion of that schedule with six wins blindfolded. The problem is they got to win all six of those blindfolded games. They can't have an experience like Howard. They can't have a bad game. They can't collapse in a game and expect to be bowl eligible. We're brought to you by the Henderson Hyundai Superstore right there on Boulder Highway in Henderson. Incredible deals going on as we speak. Big fans of the Vegas Golden Knight, where their value is the value of shaking your hand and meeting you. No gimmicks. Their deals are fantastic. They'll get you the financing that you need. Head on out to Boulder Highway, the Henderson Hyundai Superstore. They're ready to meet you. Tell them JT sent you. Say hi to Frank. Check out their amazing Vegas Golden Knight vehicle that they have parked right out in front. And they've been doing more deals in town with Hyundais and other vehicles than anyone else. Sid Rosenberg's going to join us. We'll also talk to Mark Anderson on Media Day for the Mountain West. You're listening to Fox.
NFL is in a box. I think they're in a really bad box. You look at what's happening with their ratings, you look at what's going. I mean, frankly, the only thing that's doing well in the NFL is the pregame. Because everybody wants to see what's going on. The NFL is in a very bad box. You cannot have people disrespecting our national anthem, our flag, our country, and that's what they're doing. And in my opinion, the NFL has to change. Or you know what's going to happen? Their business is going to go to hell.
That's the president, and here he is, the co-host of New York City's best morning show, Bernie and Sid, in the morning on legendary 77 WABC, where I grew up in Long Island, listening to that station. Sid, thanks for coming on. We're both pro-anthem, so this is right up your alley.
It is, JT. First of all, thanks for having me back. You're my favorite national radio host in the country, and I apologize for being late, but you'll appreciate this. I was just on the phone with my former midday partner, Joe Beningo. I think the country knows he's in a bit of hot water up here at WFAN. He's actually on paid leave right now. So we were having a pretty lengthy discussion about his future, but he agrees with me on the NFL, which is thank God for Donald Trump. Thank God for his stance on the NFL, because it is it's pretty sickening that these players who make a lot of money in this country show such disrespect and hate for the flag and this country on a weekly basis. I mean, I will tell you this, whether it's Colin Kaepernick or Eric Reed, any one of these guys, that, or Michael Bennett, or even LeBron James, JT, I am yet to hear any one of these guys really articulate exactly what they're so angry about. What are the issues? And I've yet to hear any of them come up with a real solution. They have catchphrases, injustice, inequality. It sounds great. Sounds like a Dr. King speech. But ask any one of these guys to really detail what the issues are, and they can't. You know why? Because they're ignorant, they're hateful, and they're wrong.
Well, Sid, a lot of them in the past has talked about police issues in regards to minorities and their treatment by police officers when there are high-profile incidents that I've said make it on TV and make it on cable news, and there are protests surrounding this. I talk about police brutality and then alleged police brutality when police are actually in pursuit of a criminal and have to take down a criminal who's harming people. And then there are issues where police officers do cross the line and the justice system should take over. And if they break the law, they should be arrested and lose their job. I think that's what football players have been talking about. That's what they've been vocal about over the last year or two.
It's moronic. Let me tell you something, JT. There are hundreds of thousands of contact between police and civilians every single day. Hundreds of thousands of points of contact. And every couple of months, we read about it, hear about a horrible story where, yes, an unarmed black man was gunned down by the cops. But what about the, 50,000 interactions between police and the African-American community in New York today where nobody gets killed? I mean, the problem is very simple, and black folks are not going to like this. But the truth is that there needs to be some accountability for their own community. There is a disproportionate amount of crime in the black community. So, yes, are there police officers that act hastily and nervously? Of course they do. I mean, look, there are racists in the NFL. Your mailman may be a racist. Your lawyer may be a racist. Your doctor may be a racist. The idea that police officers wake up in the morning with this thought, I'm going to kill a black man today, is so ridiculous and over the top. The truth is that there's a disproportionate amount of crime in the black community, and because of that, there are officers that are quick on the trigger. There's no question about it. So act as if there's no reason for it. That's what makes me angry. It's time for some people to take some accountability.
Sid Rosenberg's our guest, WABC New York City. You've spoken to the president. You've had him on your show. Jerry Jones commented today, when the president gets involved, it's not good for the other owners and the business of the NFL. Where do you think the president stands on this? Because he knows he's pro-anthem and it feeds his base.
Well, look, some of the players and some of the owners have come out and said, specifically the kid in Tampa Bay, the wide receiver Mike Evans, that Donald Trump has had an in for the National Football League since the USFL. By the way, I was a ticket holder, season ticket holder for the Jersey Generals, JT, when they had the likes of Brian Sipe and Doug Flutie and Herschel Walker in New Jersey playing at Giant Stadium. Maybe that's true. I don't know. But I think Trump is very sincere. I know I am, in that even if you believe there is a cause here, and I do think they exaggerate the situation, some of these players, and make it seem like an epidemic, which it's not. But if you believe in the cause, there's another way to go about it. There are other venues, there are other methods. And I do believe that Donald Trump is sincere in his love for the flag, his love for the service people in this country. And I think he's angry. And he's not alone. I mean, look, the facts are the facts. The ratings are down. Merchandising was down. I know overall revenue was still very good for the National Football League, but that's because of people like me. Because the truth is, JT, while I'm sick about the players, and a lot of them make me really, really sick, truth is, guess what? Week one, I'm going to be glued to the Giants and the Jaguars because I love the NFL. I love the football Giants. Maybe it's my favorite sport. I'm not going to give that up because of these players. But am I sick with the players like Donald Trump? I absolutely am. Yes. They're disgusting.
Wrapping it up with Sid Rosenberg. Sid, we like to come to a conclusion. We like to push this story forward. As I said earlier before you came on, if we go through a 3-4 week period where we're putting on cable news and we don't see an ugly incident with police officers and minorities, and the players feel good about it, and they're standing for 3 or 4 weeks, and then we see an incident, and that cable news puts it up there, and it's on 3 or 4 nights in a row, are players going to get up and stand and then kneel and then stay down and stand up? When are we going to come to a business model and decision on what the players should do? Because we're always going to have problems. There's always going to be a reason for an NFL player to take a knee over what that player believes to be injustice. But Jerry Jones and these owners, they got to run a business. Do you believe these players should stay if they want in the locker room? Should they be called to stand at attention? And do you think a few of them are going to bypass their owner and take a knee to start this season?
Well, it's a great question, and there's a lot of parties involved here. Roger Goodell, the commissioner, you mentioned the owners, you mentioned the players. Obviously, Donald Trump's solution is a bit much. Second time they kneel, they're gone for the season. That's a bit much. But I do think the players should have to stand. This issue of going back into the locker room, the solution, and if you don't want to stand, go in the locker room, I think that's cowardly. Look, I spent my whole life watching all these sports, and there was never an issue with the national anthem. People have said, well, who cares about the anthem? I got to tell you, JT, in the 50 years of me watching sports, incredible wins by the Mets and the Knicks and the Rangers and the Giants, one of my favorite moments in sport was when I arrived early at the Super Bowl in 1990, Super Bowl 25, when the Giants were playing the Bills, JT. And we were in the midst of the Gulf War. I was there that day in that stadium. It took me 4 hours to get inside that day because of security. And I sat there, and on my seat that day was a flag, a little flag, which me and I don't know how many hundreds of thousands, how many thousands later waved in the air as Whitney Houston sang the national anthem. Now listen, was Giants won the game on a Scott Norwood missed field goal? Absolutely. It was a great football game. They went 20-19 and carried Bill Parcells off the field. But Whitney Houston's anthem that day is one of the great sports moments for me in my lifetime. It was never an issue. All of a sudden now it is, and it shouldn't be. The players need to come to the realization that if they really believe that there really isn't an issue here, change the method, change the venue. These players want to do something, sit in front of one police plaza with 100 players. Go to Chicago for the weekend with Colin Kaepernick, where black kids are gunned down every single day only because they're black. But to do it the lazy way, because you're getting paid for that day anyway, and kneel the national anthem, you are spitting in the face of the servicemen, of the flag, of our country, and we're sick of it. They should have to stand for the national anthem and find a different way to protest these injustices.
I was at that Super Bowl. I was there with you, not together, but I was there too. I wouldn't be talking to you tonight if I was not at that game. It had a passion that led me into this business, and I wouldn't be behind the microphone if I wasn't at that Super Bowl game. That's one of the defining moments of my life as a fan. Last point. I tie the anthem to the military. I do. Others don't. Should we tie it to the military going forward, or should we look at this as an event to salute the country and not tie the military the way we are to the NFL?
Well, I'll tell you this. You know, look, I know that the guy that initially gave Colin Kaepernick the idea to do this is a vet. I know that. And that seems to be the left's argument. Well, I mean, he's a serviceman. It was his idea. Good for him, okay? I will tell you this. You know this, JT, knowing what we do, Bernie, on a daily basis. We talk a lot of politics, a lot of news, a lot of war. We have brought on many a man and women who have lost their limbs, from Johnny Jones, who lost them all in Afghanistan, to others who have lost legs and arms overseas in battles. Kevin Lace is a regular on our show. He was Chris Kyle's best friend, the American sniper, before he was murdered in Texas years and years ago. Mm-hmm. And to a man, JT, almost all of them say the same thing to me. When they're alone in a cave in Afghanistan, when they're alone in a cave in Iraq, or the other hundreds of places around the world today that our brave young women are fighting, which you don't even know about, and they're miles and miles from home, from a kickoff, from their mother, from their father. When they hear the national anthem, you know what they all say to me? I'm home. So I want all you guys out there who say the song means nothing to look in the face of Johnny Jones, who lost all four of his limbs, and told me when he was in Afghanistan, that song meant I was home. You tell him, as you're making $10 million to play football, that song means nothing.
Thank you, Sid. Thanks for catching up with us. Good to talk to you.
I love you, bro. Thank you.
Take care. Sid Rosenberg, WABC in New York. I told you, that's what you're going to get with Sid. He's going to give you everything he has. He really believes in the anthem. That's one perspective. All I can do is open up the phones, open up Twitter, and get your response at JT the Brick on Twitter, on the phones at 876-1340. There are millions of people in this country who support the anthem at football games. Millions. That number is not going down. But the point is, there are a number of people who want to move on from this topic and controversy, and I understand why. It is very complicated, and that's why we have this debate from time to time. Jerry Jones got the debate going in Oxnard today, going directly at the president. We'll talk to Mark Anderson coming up next from Mountain West Media Day. He'll give us our takeaway on that. And I just want predictions on what UNLV football is going to do. It's not X's and O's. It's not a depth chart. I'm heading up to Napa for Raiders camp. I want to know what UNLV fans think of this team as we try to get this team to the next level here in Vegas, moving into a professional football stadium. It'd be nice for them to win and become bowl eligible. I think they will.
Down the right sideline, and it is going down the right sideline in the hands of number 40, Devin Rollins, a linebacker who's going to go all the way in for a Howard touchdown. You talk about a turn of events right there, the fumble recovery, and I don't see any flags this time.
Well, we want to see good things for UNLV football this year, and we'll talk about all the good and the upside. Mark Anderson joins us from the Las Vegas Review-Journal, Media Day, the Mountain West in Vegas to kick it off. And, Mark, I want to begin with the TV deal. You wrote a great column. Craig Thompson spoke at the roundtable. What's the status of this TV deal going forward and the potential upside?
Well, it's going to have an incredible impact in the conference years to come. But the short story is they have 2 years left on it. But the exclusive negotiating window with CBS Sports opens in April. So it's going to begin pretty soon. And they've devoted a subcommittee of five people to it already. It shows you how important it is to the conference. And, you know, all they have to do is look what happened at Conference USA 2 years ago when those schools went from making $1.1 million per season to, or per year, to $200,000, which is a disaster. So they don't want to be Conference USA. So this is incredibly important, and they got a lot of issues to work through. They got to work through how much they want a traditional TV contract, and how much they want to go the digital route and have more say over their kickoff times and tip-off times.
This is a really big deal that in 2018 – it shouldn't be that difficult in a lot of ways, but as you just mentioned, with digital and the way that younger consumers consume college football, gaming, now legalization, and there's a lot of issues, especially based out of Las Vegas today, where they're having these discussions. But either way, would you agree it's difficult at times to find Mountain West football teams on specific time slots, knowing you have to look really hard to find this conference and some of these teams play? I hope it's not the case for 4 or 5 years from now.
Well, I wouldn't be overly optimistic, to be honest. I just think there's such a divide between the Power Fives and the Group of Fives, and I only see that growing. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think in the few years, the TV money is going to come down a little bit on the Power Fives as well, just because of all the cord cutting going on. So I think they'll still make tons more money than the Group of Five schools. But it won't be. I don't think it'll be as much as they have made. But yeah, the digital is. You know, I think that's one reason why the Mountain West is really exploring the digital, is because there's so many ways to access games now, and the younger generation, you know, spends so much time on the phone watching events, and I think the Mountain West sees that as sort of a path to the future. So, but you know, can you make money on it? That's been the challenge so far, and no one's really come up with a really good way of doing that.
Mark Anderson's our guest. How much talk was there at Media Day about the new football stadium coming online here in Vegas and the role that UNLV will play with that stadium in the Mountain West going forward?
There was some, yeah. Tony Sanchez was asked about that today, and everyone refers to it as the Raiders Stadium, you know, instead of Las Vegas Stadium, and so he acknowledged that that's something that they kind of have to fight against, but he thinks they can get their, you know, get their logos in there, and you know, especially on game day, and make it look like a really, real UNLV home stadium rather than just renting one out from the Raiders. That they can actually have a place they can call their own. And I think it's just, you know, people are in the habit of calling it the Raiders Stadium, and I just think that's just the way it's basically going to be, because it's, you know, that stadium would not be under construction if it wasn't for the Raiders. The Rebels would be playing at Sam Boyd for who knows how long. So it's you know, for all intents and purposes, it really is the Raiders Stadium.
I want to ask you first off, before we get to the Rebels, about San Diego State. They're one of the teams that are supposed to be on an upward trend, but they don't have a stadium. They lost an NFL team with the Chargers going north to Los Angeles. Really important time with the people I talked to in San Diego to get it right for the Aztecs here, because the Aztecs will be the football team in that city going forward, but not if they don't have a state-of-the-art stadium.
Yeah, there are two proposals, two proposals go before the voters in November. One is basically an extension of their campus, which is what the university prefers, that they would like to extend their campus, because right now their enrollment is locked, and they would like to expand their enrollment, and they're not able to. So they could expand their enrollment and have a place to play for for their football team. The other is involved with, I guess it was called Soccer City, a group that wants to build a soccer stadium where the Aztecs could also play, and their hope is to eventually get an MLS team there, and they would develop you know, housing there as well, and making a big project. So if whatever both has to, or the winning project or the winning vote is the one that will go forward, but that one still has to get 50% plus one the vote. So if they, neither one gets 50%, then they're both shot down, and San Diego State has to start all over again. But if they can at least get one of those to go forward, they feel pretty good that they'll be on the path to finding a place to play. But yeah, it's a big, it's got to be a big concern. I can only imagine that San Diego State gets negatively recruited against, but it doesn't seem like it's hurt them too badly to this point.
No, they definitely have a lot of great football players in San Diego and that county and around that area. And those who can't get into USC, want to play from Southern California down, it's a great choice. We're talking to Mark Anderson from the Las Vegas Review-Journal. Let's get to UNLV, 4-4, 2-4 at home last year. The scenario of this team, how they're able to bounce back this year, the schedule really looks like a schedule that they can take advantage of, but we said that last year with a couple of cupcakes on the schedule. What are expectations in your mind for UNLV as they have to become bowl eligible, I would assume, this year?
Yeah, I think they have a really good chance to become bowl eligible, and they better be in good shape by the time November rolls around, because November is going to be a brutal way to end the season. And even the trip to Hawaii, which you would think is a game they should win, Hawaii will be coming off a bye, and UNLV be coming off the game at San Diego State. So you got to like Hawaii's chances in that game. So you can't even count that as a win. And I think they need to be at least five wins going into November to have a realistic shot to make a bowl. I think they'll probably get around. I have a feeling they'll get to six this year, but I do think it's probably going to come down to the end of the season against Reno again, like it did last year. So, you know, they had three games last year that they basically gave away. They lost to Howard. The 27-point blown lead at Air Force, and then they had two plays to pick up 1 yard at Reno to basically put that game away and couldn't do it. So they can't say they didn't have their chances last year, and it's going to be a more veteran team this season. So they really do need to take advantage of that, and because if they don't make a bowl this season, you know, it's, you got to kind of wonder where the program's going.
Right. Mark Anderson joins us as we wrap it up. Give me what you believe is the strength of Tony Sanchez as a recruiter, and then the follow-up as an X's and O's game day coach.
Well, he did something really interesting that people were real hesitant to do when he took over the program, and that was sell the city of Las Vegas. And I think that appealed to recruits. And, this, you know, Las Vegas used to carry such a negative connotation with parents around the country, and I don't think it does so much anymore. And so, you know, I being able to tap into that and really sell, you can not only that you can play in one of the most exciting cities in the world, I think really got kids to really consider UNLV. And as far as his X's and O's, you know, it's the one thing he's done really well at is establish a physical running presence. They got one of the best rushing attacks in the conference, and that's something that, you know, that doesn't seem to go away from week to week. It's something you can generally count on every week to be there, unlike a passing game that, you know, a quarterback can have occasional off day. So the big question is defense. You know, he has not had a good defense as he's been here, but that goes well before, you know, go well back before him. So that to me is more of a UNLV issue than him. But you know, you look back at those three games I mentioned where they blew, and, you know, and some of that has to come back on the head coach.
Yeah.
You know, the players too, but the head coach ultimately takes responsibility for that.
Thank you, Mark. I know you had a really busy day today. Thanks for making time for us.
Thanks for having me on, JT. Take care of yourself.
You got it. Mark Anderson from the Review-Journal. Again, he makes an interesting point about the schedule down the stretch, hopefully being in a good situation. And then November, it's tough. Fresno State at home, at San Diego State, at Hawaii, and then playing for the Cannon against Nevada here. I mean, it's going to come down to that, but they have to have wins in the bank. I look at it like a boxing, like a 10-round fight. They've got to put rounds in the bank early. They've got to come out of the gate. And I'm not talking about going to USC. I mean, throw that out, non-conference. But then when you get going with the schedule, there are winnable games up and down this schedule, and they've got to win them. And there can't be a fourth quarter game where they're up three or down three with 3 minutes to go, and everybody's sitting around going, oh, my God, the whole season revolves on the next 3 minutes in regards to being bowl eligible. That cannot happen this year. This team's got to put easy wins in the bank early and then peak at the right time. And as I said before, ever since I moved back to Vegas in 2009, you look at all the coaches on the show, and we have good relationships with them. Marvin Menzies, Tony Sanchez, Dave Rice when he was here. You go down the list of all the coaches. We want them to win. I'm part of this community. My kids go to games. I want to see the teams here win and excel. But we got to call it straight. And this year, to me, is a really critical year for UNLV because of the positive news of the football stadium coming online, what's happening with the training center, and what's going on campus, the fact that Tony Sanchez is clearly getting better players. There's no doubt he's getting better players. You can see that by looking at the recruiting grades. Now they got to put it together on game day. And the coaches got to step up their game and go out and win some of these games and put the players in the best position to win. When we come back, Brett Musburger was on with Dan Patrick. And again, I'm really tight with the old Raiders play-by-play voice, Greg Papa. And I think the world of Brett Musburger, a god in broadcasting. Brett Musburger's comments moving forward as the future voice of the Silver and Black. We'll play some of that. And we'll remind you of Happy Hour at PT's right here at the top of the hour. Swing on by to your local PT's.
Short term, they've got their hands full. They're going to have about, on the 53-man roster, I was working on it last night, and I see 25, it could be even up to 30 new faces.
That's Brett Musburger. He's the new voice of the Raiders. He'll start coming up here preseason games. I'll be hosting the TV broadcast, TV sidelines on the television broadcast for the Raiders. You'll find that on Fox 5. Rich Gannon was added to the booth this year along with Matt Millen. Beth Mowins from ESPN is the play-by-play voice of television. The new radio team will be Brett Musburger, Lincoln Kennedy, and a guy by the name of Chris Townsend, who I've known for a while. He'll do the sidelines, and he's up in Oakland. And this has been a really tough week for me on this because I really like Greg Papa a lot. We were tied through my former mentor who ran Fox. I wrote about Greg in my book. I was able to bring Greg down to see my mentor, Andrew, before he died, and they were able to spend time together. And I've been on the road with Greg for 20 years, for almost 20 years, and it's been a really important friendship to me. People are asking what happened, where was the fallout. That's between the owner and Greg Papa. Nothing to do with me. Blood is thicker than water. I do not get involved with family situations. And it's incredible the amount of pushback that people are getting on Twitter in regards to this. Greg's got an enormous amount of fans. Enormous. Brett Musburger's got more because he's been around forever. And Brett's here locally now, and he's going to get a lot of pats on the back going forward. But people are criticizing him for his age. He hasn't done this for a while. It's incredible that people just can't look at the situation and wish everybody well. And that's the business I got into. There's just a lot of people with vicious reaction to people who are broadcasters who are just out there trying to make a living or moving on to another job. Well, your career ends here, you make a right turn. You don't have to be the number one syndicated radio host. You don't have to be the number one play-by-play guy. You can just be a guy on the radio, or your career could be moving in a different direction, like I believe it is for Greg Papa, who's a brilliant play-by-play voice. Greg's going to go on to do other big, big things. And Brett Musburger gets an opportunity with the Raiders coming to Vegas to put his stamp on the sound of the Raiders as John Gruden starts again. But again, I didn't think it would be this emotional. I didn't think it would be this gut-wrenching. But that's what happens when you have a family, which is the Raiders. Decisions are made. People make decisions and move on. The owner of the Raiders is not Al Davis. Al Davis is the Maverick, the Hall of Famer, one of the most influential individuals in the history of the NFL. No one can debate that. Like Al Davis or not, his impact is up there with the icons of the game. The owner of the team now is Mark Davis. And the people who work for Mark Davis are completely behind him on turning the Raiders around and getting him back to a Super Bowl contending team. That's the priority of the Raiders going forward. As I head out to camp in the morning, I'll be broadcasting live from Napa and the Marriott Thursday and Friday night. We'll be back on Monday, and then we jump into our football coverage, preseason coverage, and a heavy dose of college and NFL football. Thanks to the Henderson Hyundai Superstore on Boulder Highway in Henderson, where the deals are done. Golden Entertainment, they now own the Stratosphere. Head on out to PT's for their award-winning happy hour. It starts here in 5 minutes from 5 to 7. Catch it later on in the night from midnight to 2 a.m. Thanks to Bobby, Sid Rosenberg, and Mark Anderson for joining us from Mountain West Media Day. No Looney tonight. Steve DeSager at the top of the hour. We reset with the Fox Show right now.